And to discuss UFC 118, which is coming up later tonight, we are joined right now by Luke Thomas on the StubHub.com guest line. Luke writes for BloodyElbow.com, excellent MMA site. He's the editor-in-chief there, and also they just signed a deal with Comcast, so Luke has been appearing for one of the segments on TV there. Luke, congratulations on the partnership there. Love this site. Thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, and to Sporting News Radio for covering MMA. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you, Luke. I appreciate it. I know you do a radio show as well, and obviously UFC 118 is coming up tonight, and for a lot of boxing fans, I think James Toney fighting has captivated their interest, but he's just not going up against anyone. He's going up against Randy Couture, who may be 47 years old, but still in fantastic shape, and he has obviously an excellent track record here. When you look at things here, does James Toney crossing over into MMA in the octagon, does he have at all of a chance here against a guy like Couture, who's such a veteran and who's just fought some of the legends?
Well, listen, you have to understand the nature of MMA, which isn't to say that it's well-rounded. It's a very chaotic thing, and the way in which you're able to be successful in MMA is an extent to which you can control chaos. And that means you have to have a well-rounded skill set to get that done. But it also means, listen, in MMA, it happens all the time, much more frequently than in boxing. The best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. It happens consistently. Guys slip and they fall into triangles. Guys slip the wrong way on a punch, and they eat a huge uppercut, and they go to sleep with those 4-ounce gloves. So listen, does Toney stand a chance in that respect? Absolutely. Does he stand a chance realistically in terms of evaluating the numbers? I mean, if you look at the numbers, the most likely outcome is that James Toney is going to catch one of the most epic beatings you'll probably ever see. Listen, Randy Couture, it hasn't been just wrestling for 30 years. Randy Couture has been wrestling at the elite level. Your average high school wrestler can take down the average boxer with ease, much less a guy who was an Olympic alternate, 4-time Greco-Roman NCAA champion, Pan Am Games winner, All-Army medal winner. You know, this is a guy who knows how to wrestle at a level which I could wrestle the rest of my life and never be that good. And to say that he's also mixed in the other components of mixed martial arts really puts James Toney's chances at infinitesimally small.
We're talking with Luke Thomas from BloodyElbow.com, excellent MMA site. He's the editor-in-chief of the site, also does some work for Comcast and does a radio show as well. And Luke, talking about James Toney, you said that he might catch one of the biggest beatings that we have seen later tonight at UFC 118. And the one place where I would challenge, and it's not to say that he could score a knockout, it's that I don't see him, if he gets bum-rushed and winds up on the ground, I don't see him lasting that long to the point where he'll be able to take that much of a beating. Do you think that maybe, hey, when he gets into it like that, he might wind up tapping early?
Yes, a lot of guys, listen, James Toney has obviously taken a lot of punches before. I mean, I don't think that's new. But ground and pound is a science. I know a lot of people think when one guy's on top of another, they're flailing away. Trust me, you couldn't be more wrong. You not only have to figure out how to squeeze in punches and watch out for submissions, you have to learn how to control the guy on the bottom. And it's this delicate balancing act you have to really work with. And guys on the bottom, there's also sort of a whole science to preventing yourself and locking up different positions to get better angles to either stand up or throw on submissions or block ground and pound. But, you know, taking an elbow to the face, and I've taken some, it's dramatically different than taking a punch. It's dramatically different. And when your back is to the mat, I got to tell you, it is a frightening, frightening experience. And a lot of guys don't know how to, for lack of a better description, roll with the punches. They have bad habits because they haven't really worked it out yet. They'll turn their back. They could turn to his back early to avoid being elbowed in the face. The referee will stop the fight. That is not intelligently defending yourself. So you're right. It could go where that James Toney just taps immediately, and you'll see guys. By the way, this isn't the first time this has happened. Boxers have crossed over into kickboxing and MMA before, and particularly in Japan. What you see every time is that their instincts really aren't there. They'll get hit in the face and roll, get choked out, or get stopped. So you're right. It may not be that long either.
Luke Thomas is with us from BloodyElbow.com, breaking down UFC coming up later tonight, UFC 118. James Toney is going to be fighting, and he has obviously been a headliner for this, but it's going to be his first MMA fight, and we're talking about that, his chances. But in general, maybe he's not going to be successful, and he's towards the end of his career. He is somewhat out of shape, and he doesn't have any experience doing this. But as a whole, and I know that on the site at BloodyElbow.com, you guys talked about this, as a whole, is a guy like James Toney good for the UFC?
Absolutely. I'm glad James Toney is here. And listen, you know, if you're a true combat sports fan, and I'm a big fan of boxing, I talk boxing all the time on my radio show, James Toney is one of the greatest combat athletes of our generation. I mean, that guy is a credit to what he's done to combat athletes anywhere. I know the end of his boxing career has had some issues. Obviously, he was popped for steroids and Rockman and Ruiz. You know, he's had some problems, and he's had weight problems. But what he's accomplished, I mean, he's a surefire Hall of Famer boxer. And, you know, so many guys in MMA don't really understand this. They don't understand that there's two ways you make money. And Floyd Mayweather is a genius at this. You not only put on a show and perform once you're in the cage, but you have to get people to go there. I mean, MMA fighters were often mad at Kimbo Slice. You know, Kimbo Slice was a white belt fighter, but he was a black belt in selling tickets. And he was a black belt in getting guys to plunk down money for pay-per-view. And James Toney, it's his first MMA fight, but he's, you know, this is, he didn't just fall off the turnip truck in learning how to sell and promote a fight. He's great for that. And what really is also going on here, I think, is that a lot of fans who are kind of new to MMA, or maybe they're boxing fans, they don't really understand MMA. I mean, they kind of get it in the sort of general sense, like, oh, well, if you go to the mat, you know, it's going to be tough for him to win. No, if he goes to the mat, it's going to be impossible for him to win. So Tony is playing on that curiosity factor. He's bringing new audiences, and really, if he does get killed, I mean, I don't mean literally, but, you know, beating really bad, he's going to be also educating a new audience that maybe didn't quite appreciate just how technical and how deep the waters are in the Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Luke Thomas is with us from BloodyElbow.com talking about UFC 118, which will be going on later tonight. One of the main events, James Toney against Randy Couture. Couture the Natural, obviously, at 47 years old, is towards the end of his career, but he is in fantastic shape, and he's been doing well in his most recent fights. He has won his last two and beat Brandon Vera and beat Mark Coleman back in February. So he is looking forward to this one and showing James Toney a thing or two. And Toney, obviously, towards the end of his career. One of the other big fights on the card, obviously, BJ Penn against Frankie Edgar, a rematch. And this one went to the decision before. Now, even though the judges gave it to Frankie Edgar, a lot of people feel like BJ Penn won that first fight. Do you feel like that was the case, and how much of an implication is that going to have on tonight's fight?
I initially did score it for BJ Penn. That being said, there is a very credible case you can make for how Frankie Edgar won. And you can say, well, how is it that folks could be this divided? You know, MMA is hard to score. You're combining different sports, and different sports, you know, what underwrites them are very different things. You know, what matters in kickboxing isn't really what matters in wrestling. And so how do you reconcile that too? So it creates some kind of confusion. I initially scored it for BJ Penn because Frankie Edgar is not a natural lightweight. He is a natural featherweight, a natural 145-pounder. He doesn't have to cut any weight to fight at 155. So he's a lot faster. He's a lot quicker. He's got great movement, great angles, but he doesn't punch really hard. He's not a physical brute. BJ Penn, on the other hand, is a physical brute. He's extremely strong. He has a granite chin, and he punches incredibly hard. On top of that, you know, he's a great submission guy. So what happened in the first one is that BJ Penn was clearly landing the more damaging shots, much, much harder punches. But he probably wasn't landing as many as Frankie Edgar. And Frankie Edgar basically, for lack of a better description, outworked BJ Penn. And that makes it hard to score. You know, Frankie Edgar feels like he won decisively. I do not think he won decisively. And this time, you know, I don't really know what to expect, to be perfectly honest. BJ Penn, if you look at it on paper, is the far more talented fighter. For guys who don't know who BJ Penn is, this is a guy who got his Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt from one of the elite academies in Brazil. I mean, he wasn't in Brazil, but they moved to America, called Novi Unau. He got it in 3 years, which is unheard of, and in his first black belt tournament, won the world championship. I mean, that is unbelievable accomplishment. Dude, Bryce Harper would have to be the MVP next season for that to be something equivalent. And then goes on to become a two-division champion in the UFC. But he's rich now. He's got a daughter now. He's married now. He's worshipped in Hawaii. You know, does he really have that hunger? Does he really have that fire? I don't know. And I can tell you for sure Frankie Edgar does. So is BJ Penn the more talented fighter? Yeah, I think so. Does that mean he's going to win tonight? You know, I don't know.
You know, Luke Thomas is with us from BloodyElbow.com, an excellent MMA site, and Luke does some radio work and also does some TV work for Comcast, and he's joining us to talk about UFC 118 tonight. Obviously, some very good events that I'm excited for. Now, you talked about newer fans. Maybe they just look at BJ Penn, they see his record, 15-6-1, and they say, how great can this guy be with six losses? But is that more of a case that, hey, maybe he was just didn't feel like he was challenged at the lightweight division, stepping up in weight class, maybe all the way up to against Machida, where he was fighting at 190 pounds and now he's at 155. Is that the biggest reason for the losses on his record?
Yes and no. It's one of the big reasons. Carly, you identified something correctly. I mean, he had contractual disputes in the UFC early in his career and went over and fought in Japan and fought guys way too big for him, and won most of those, but lost some too. The other problem with BJ Penn is he's been too talented for his own good, right? So initially in his career, he could get away with halfway training or relying on his punching power and jiu-jitsu and not clean boxing technique and not really conditioning. And he kind of would gas out. Guys would take a beating in the first or second rounds and then come back and storm him in the third. You know, here's the reality. If you're in the Ultimate Fighting Championship, you're going to lose. I mean, Anderson Silva was on the perilous brink in the last fight. He managed to eke out a victory. But believe me, if you fight the best guys consistently, you're going to lose. And I'm sorry, I'm a huge boxing fan, but that is a major knock in boxing. Pacquiao would have fought Mayweather a long time ago if Dana White had his say, and one of them would have lost. That's just how it goes. If you fight tough guys, you're going to lose. And BJ Penn, let me assure you, has fought the tough guys, the toughest guys, his entire career. And he came up short a couple of times. You know, and then most recently, his worst loss, in my judgment, was the last GSP fight. Where, you know, but GSP is a monster of a 170-pounder. The guy could fight at middleweight, much less welterweight. You know, what is Penn doing wasting his time fighting guys like that? So it's been a lack of preparation. It's been overconfidence in the skill set and some, you know, really curious decisions about who he wanted to fight early in his career.
Luke, thank you very much for your time. We got about 10 seconds. I want to ask you quickly, obviously, Penn against Egger. You think Penn's going to win that? And then Maynard against Florian. The winner of that fight will get the winner of Penn and Egger. Who do you think it's going to be?
I like Florian, but he has to keep his back off the fence. He has to neutralize the wrestling of Maynard. He has to pump the jab and keep the fight in the center of the octagon. If he can do that, he'll get another shot at BJ Penn, if BJ Penn can beat Frankie Egger.
That's Luke Thomas from BloodyElbow.com. Luke, thank you very much for your time and breaking it down for us. I appreciate it.